Hello and welcome to the Kinetic Fitness Show, where we inspire you to live a longer, healthier, happy, and more joyful life. We cover everything you need to know to be optimally healthy in your mind, body, and spirit. Are you ready to become the ultimate version of yourself? Well, let's dive into another episode with your host and guide by your side, Allie West.
Hello everybody, welcome to the show. Welcome to episode number 53 of the Kinetic Fitness Show. Super grateful as always to have you on board, whether you are a new listener or a returning listener. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to this episode. I have another great episode lined up for you with an amazing guest today. My guest today is Kayla Osterhoff, also known as BioCurious Kayla, and we are going to be discussing everything biohacking. You may have come across this term. This is a term that has been coined in the last, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years, and it is actually now in the dictionary as well. Biohacking basics, that's what we're going to be talking about, because a lot of people might think that biohacking is confusing. You also might think that it is expensive. We're going to prove both of those things wrong, or both of those statements wrong, on this podcast. Kayla's going to give you some really simple steps of how you can start implementing biohacking into your life to help you live that longer, healthier, happier, more joyful life that we promote here on this podcast. We're also going to show you that it isn't expensive, and you can do most biohacking techniques for free or for very little cost. If you don't know what biohacking is as well, and you're just new to this term, or you may have come across it but you don't really know what it is, Kayla is also going to explain that for you as well. So this is going to be a really great episode, really simple to follow, but with lots of actionable steps that you can take away and put into practice as soon as you've finished listening to this episode. A little bit about my guest then. My guest is Kayla Osterhoff. Kayla is the co-founder of the Women's Biohacking Collective, and she is a host of her own podcast, which is called the BioCurious Podcast, where she brings on experts in biohacking, functional medicine, biosciences. She brings on guests from all over the world, interviews them, and plugs into their knowledge and wisdom, all centered around biohacking. So I highly recommend you go and check out the BioCurious Podcast after you've listened to this podcast, obviously. She's also a health scientist, a researcher, a professional biohacker, a nationally ranked athlete, and a doctoral student of integrative mind-body medicine. Kayla has dedicated her life to sharing useful knowledge, empowering people to take responsibility and control of their own health, wellness, and life. She employs a very holistic approach, as do I, across the spectrum of mind-body medicine, biohacking, neuroscience, and functional nutrition to harness people's innate power and help them to reach their full potential. You guys are gonna love this podcast. Great conversation that myself and Kayla have on this episode. And yeah, let's get cracking. Enjoy the show, enjoy the episode. Don't forget to tell your friends, family, and colleagues about it, and listen all the way to the end, and then go and check out Kayla's podcast after. Episode number 53, Biohacking Basics with Kayla Osterhoff. Let's do it. Hi, Kayla. Welcome to the Kinetic Fitness Show. Thank you so much for taking your time out to speak to me. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on. This is going to be fun.
No, it's no problem. We had a little mix-up last time because we was meant to do this was it last week or the week before? Yeah. But we got our time zones mixed up, but it's all good.
Yes, that was totally my fault. I scheduled for 5 a.m. apparently, and thinking it was 5 p.m. for whatever reason.
It's all right. We got there in the end. It's cool. It allowed me to do another podcast. It's fine. No worries.
Oh, good.
So I'm excited to talk to you about biohacking today. This term that's been coined in the last few years, and it's a really kind of exciting area and something that I'm highly interested in as well. And I know you're a little bit of an expert in this area. So
I'm keen to ask you lots of questions about biohacking in particular. But before we do that, can you just tell the listeners and myself a little bit about you, please?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super excited to talk about biohacking, as always. Definitely something I'm very passionate about. But a little bit about me personally is I am also by day a health scientist, and I work for in global health for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And then during my other hours, I also have a podcast, as you know, BioCurious, all about biohacking and the health sciences. And I'm also running a new project, which is called the Women's Biohacking Collective, which is a community for women to learn about how they can take control of their biology and therefore take control of kind of their health, life, wellness, and all of that. But my background is largely in the health sciences, as you might guess. And I have a bachelor's of science in health ecology, which was the prerequisite degree to go into physical therapy. And I also worked in physical therapy for 6 years and was planning to be a physical therapist. But then I realized that there are a lot of issues that plague individuals' health that have to do with more population level health issues and health systems and health policy. And so I really wanted to learn behavioral science and health policy and program implementation science. So I decided to shift gears, and I went and got my master's in public health. And now that's what I do largely for my career, is public health programming on the global scale with CDC. And then currently I'm also going to school in my doctoral program, studying mind-body medicine, which is largely functional medicine. And with that, I am basically, I found a degree that is essentially biohacking, which is super exciting. And I'll definitely move that forward, including my background in public health and the traditional health sciences.
Awesome. Lots of stuff going on, and lots of qualifications and lots of knowledge, which is why I chose to get in contact with you and pick your brain and pick into your knowledge. So that's awesome. Okay, there'll be a lot of people listening to this podcast, Kayla, that have heard of the term biohacking, and there'll also be people that'll be like, what the hell does biohacking mean? Can you just explain to the second demographic what biohacking actually is and what it means to you?
Absolutely. So the easiest way I can explain it is that biohacking means taking control or changing your environment. So that means either your external environment, things around you, like where you live, pollution, different people that you're around, that sort of thing, or your internal environment, which is, you know, your biology, your brain chemistry, your gut health, all of those things. Changing those environments so that you can have better control over your biology for specific outcomes that you're wanting, whether they are like life goals or health goals or wellness goals or, you know, mental health goals. That's basically what it is in a nutshell.
Awesome. I always like to address the problems and look at the problems before we start talking about solutions or talking about how we can implement biohacking or anything. So what are some of the common issues and the problems that you see people dealing with on a regular basis, and maybe the people that you come into contact with? What kind of issues are they having with their health, with their biochemistry, with all of these areas? What are the commonalities that you see regularly?
Oh yeah. So a lot of times what people are wanting to work on are kind of like surface level. So there's two levels here. There's what people think that they want to work on. And then there's what, once you dig in, there's what actually needs to be worked on. So those kind of surface level things are like issues with mood, like mood regulation, gut health issues as far as like digestion issues, constipation, just upset stomach, or brain fog is a huge thing. Or wanting to lose weight. So those are kind of like surface level things. But then when you dig in, functional medicine and what I'm all about is finding the root cause. And so when you dig in, you really can't necessarily address those things because those are symptoms if you want to make a sustainable change. So then you have to address the root cause. And the root cause of all of these things usually has to do with a few common things. So one is unmanaged stress, too much and unmanaged stress. Another one is toxic things in your environment or your diet. And another one is mindset. A lot of times people are stuck in a negative mindset and they don't even realize it, that they have like these negative loops happening. So I would say those are like the more important things that address all of the things I mentioned previously.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let's unpack that a little bit then. So what would be the methodology from your point of view to dig in a bit deeper and finding out what is the root cause? How do you go about that? And then how do you start to make changes to those three key areas that you've spoken about just then?
Yeah, so it's pretty easy. Most people will realize right away if you start asking about, their stress level or like when they might be feeling anxious or that sort of thing. So you can figure out pretty easily that a lot of people don't manage their stress or they don't even really have a plan for it. So the first thing is kind of like bringing your awareness to your stress level and what things are causing you stress and how you're reacting to that. And then doing something about it in like an actual planned way, because if you don't have a plan, it's very hard to make changes. So I would say for the stress piece, maybe I'll just give like an example of a good stress management biohack. And so I would say the best one is just taking breaks for yourself. You know, this whole self-care theme is very popular right now. Everyone is all about self-care. And it really is really important for you to function at a high level is to take care of yourself. You've heard the term, like, you have to fill up your cup first before you can fill up anybody else's. And it's really true.
Yeah.
So it's just taking little breaks, being gentle with yourself, doing things that are going to be soothing and relaxing and enjoyable. Even if it's something small, like just diffusing some essential oil that's calming while you're working. If it's shutting your laptop for 10 minutes and just closing your eyes and listening to some music, or maybe it's like, having a little dance party in your living room with your cats or whatever, but doing something enjoyable to let your brain and your body and your nervous system have a break from the stress. Another one that's really powerful and anyone can do is breath, bringing your attention to your breath, just taking a deep breath, which a lot of times, as stressed out humans, we don't ever take a conscious breath throughout the day. So just stopping yourself, bringing your attention to your breath, and just maybe having a few deep breaths will bring your attention back to the mind-body connection, and it will bring that stress level down, and it will start to activate that parasympathetic nervous system, which is, the rest and digest part of your nervous system. Yeah. And so for the mindset component, the easiest biohack, and I think probably the most profound, is meditation. And I know everybody says, meditation, you should meditate. And then that, I think there's a lot of kind of misinformation about it out there. I know when I first started, I put a lot of pressure on my meditation practice that was unnecessary, and I think it caused more stress. And so it's just kind of, you don't have to necessarily quiet your mind. It's just bringing your attention to what is coming up in your consciousness. So bringing your attention to the thoughts that are coming up and analyzing that, bringing your attention to the sounds, the feelings, what's feeling good in your body, what's not feeling good in your body, what is happening around you, the smells. If you start to incorporate some sort of meditative practice where it's either guided or not, and you give yourself permission to sit quietly and just bring your attention to what comes up in your consciousness, this starts to build self-awareness. And by building self-awareness, this is how you're able to start to build a really powerful and positive mindset, because you then start to become aware of these negative thoughts that cause you stress, and you're more able to kind of switch gears when that happens. And then thirdly, for kind of the gut health issues, a big thing is just simply cutting out toxins from your food. So the best way to do that is to avoid as much as possible any sort of pre-packaged and processed foods, and eat your food as close to the source as possible, as natural and whole as possible. And just cutting out refined sugar, because sugar is detrimental to health, and it really fuels any sort of disease or autoimmune disease. So sugar is really not your friend, and refined sugar especially.
Perfect. That's really great advice there. And these are really simple biohacks as well. I mean, a lot of people might be listening to this and thinking, oh, I do some of these already. This is great. Yeah. But I know we can dive deeper into the biohacking world. Mm-hmm. So what I want to talk about now, there's two points really, Kayla. The first one is, can you give us some more biohacks, but something that's like a bit more out there, maybe a bit more crazy, funky, that people may not have heard of or know about? And then secondly, and these two might tie together, and secondly, would you be able to give us like your top three or four, maybe even five biohacks as well? Please.
Yeah. So I think my top biohacks might disappoint you a little bit, because they're not in the crazy funky biotech realm really. And the reason why is because a lot of people want to get into biohacking because they think it's like this really fun, cool biotech, like hacking your biology sort of thing. And it is to an extent, but if you don't get that baseline wellness, in order first, which is largely lifestyle medicine. You know, it's what you're eating, it's your environment, it's what you're doing on a daily basis, it's exercise, it's mindset. It's the things that are a lot of work and kind of, their daily practices, a little monotonous, maybe not super cool or exciting, but they're much, much, much more important than any of the tech that you can start using. I think the tech gets you that extra maybe like 1 or 2% once you get to like a really, really solid high level baseline of health. So that being said, a couple of the more like fun tech biohacks that I've personally used, and I'm careful diving into that realm because it can become really expensive. And again, is it worth, is the juice worth the squeeze to pay $10,000 for a piece of technology that's going to get you 1%, where you can just get natural sunlight and it might get you 10%. I do have like a red light panel that I like to use, which is great for me. I'm an endurance athlete. And so that's really essential for not only sleep and helping the cascade of hormones that help you sleep, but it's also really great for healing and promoting cellular health and supporting your mitochondria. Another one is blue light blocking, which is definitely, that's in my top five for sure. It's super important for, again, for sleep. Sleep is an essential, it's funny that we call it a biohack now because it's just should be something that we should naturally be doing. But yeah, it is a biohack because we're not doing it. And even if we are doing it, we're not doing it well most of the time. And so blocking blue light is a great way to improve and enhance your sleep. If you block blue light it at the times of day when it's dark, when you wouldn't naturally getting those blue light spectrums from the sun. So I use a blue light blocking glasses. Swanic is a great brand. And then there are, you know, tons of brands out there that you can look into that even the cheapy blue blocking glasses are still going to be a lot better than not doing it, or changing the screen settings on your phone or your iPad or whatever, your laptop, to go more into the red areas, red spectrums of light in the times that it's dark. And this is important because your body thinks it's still daylight if you have these blue light spectrums going into your eyes and onto your skin, and that makes your body less able to produce the hormones that you need to fall asleep, like melatonin. And so if you block those blue light spectrums once it gets dark outside, even though you're using these screens, your body still gets the signal that it's getting closer to the time when you need to go to sleep, and it will start preparing your body biologically for sleep. So that's definitely an important one. And then I've done like cryotherapy, which is cold thermogenesis. Honestly, I like the cryotherapy, going to, you know, a cryotherapy tank and doing that. It's really cool because it just takes a couple of minutes and you can really feel the benefit. It's great for healing, and it's kind of this positive stress that you put on your body. And it also really is good for calming your nervous system and kind of strengthening your nervous system. So the better way to do that, and the free way to do that, in my opinion, is, you know, you could also do like ice bath at home, but if you don't want to get like a big tub and fill it up with ice and do that whole thing, you can just do like a cold shower in the morning or evening. And that's what I do every single day. At the end of my shower, I turn it on the coldest setting and I try to stay in that cold water and keep my breathing controlled for as long as I can, you know, a minute or two. And that really does make a profound difference.
100%.
Yeah.
The cold showering is amazing. I started my cold shower in January this year, and I've done it every day, and it's just, you just feel amazing. It's so, so good.
Oh my gosh, yes. It's really kind of crazy how big of a difference it makes. And it really kind of helps you to have like a really focused morning at work. So it's really nice.
For sure.
Yeah.
Move on. Keep going.
Yeah. These are good. I think trying to think of what other are kind of like some exciting biohacks. Again, most of my biohacks are more natural and not super exciting, but very profound in the benefits that they bring.
Yeah. Let's talk about them a little bit more in more detail. Okay. Let's talk about that. They don't have to be super expert. And this is a good thing, because the people that may have heard of this term biohacking, they might automatically think what you just said earlier, that it's expensive, that it's going to cost them thousands of pounds, that they have to like strap stuff to their body or whatever crazy, mm-hmm. crazy stuff like that they might see in a science fiction movie. But you're saying here that it's easily accessible for everyone and everybody can do it, and you can do a lot of it for free. So let's touch on some of these ones that you really use a lot, probably daily, and that you love, that aren't going to cost us crazy amounts of money.
Yeah. So I mentioned a few earlier. Meditation, definitely. Breath work, definitely. And also diet, although I hate that term. I think that diet just it contributes to this idea that you can do something temporarily and make a sustainable change, and it's just not true. But I think it's more about your eating lifestyle. And so again, just cutting out toxins from your diet as much as possible, cutting out refined foods and sugars as much as possible, eating whole natural foods as much as possible. And the other one is really prioritizing high quality fats. And I know that the keto diet is like all the craze nowadays. And for me, it's a lot of people use it for like weight loss, and a lot of people use it for athleticism, which I do to an extent. And the power of that is that when you get your body into a fat adapted state, which means that it is running on fat instead of sugar, essentially, for energy, then you are going to be much more efficient, and you have a lot more fat to tap into for energy than you do glycogen, you know, glucose. So the idea behind the keto diet is to prioritize quality fats so that you can produce ketones. And also, of course, you have to limit your carbs, your sugar intake, so that your body stops, it depletes its reserves of glycogen, and you can start running off of fat, which is what is produced for energy from fat is called ketones. And so when you get into that state where you're in ketosis, you're running off of ketones instead of glucose, which is much more efficient also for your brain, which your brain is mostly made of fat. So it makes sense that if you are running off of fat and consuming more fats, that your brain is going to work better. Also for like endurance athletes, it makes a lot of sense to work from a ketosis state, because if you think about it, you only have at any certain time, maybe like a certain level of glycogen that you can pull from for energy. And at some point, especially endurance athletes at, you know, hour one, maybe hour two, depending on who you are and what you've eaten, you will run out of your stores of energy through that energy system. But you have plenty of fat on your body that you could tap into for energy. So if you're in a fat adapted state, then you're going to have a lot more energy for longer. So that's a really powerful one. Another one is intermittent fasting. And I use this almost daily. And this is important for focus, memory, brain function in general. And it's kind of the same idea. You're depleting your stores of glycogen, and you're starting to go into a state of ketosis. And it also triggers something called autophagy when your body gets into this state where it has used up its like primary energy sources, and it starts to go into this self-healing mode, which is really powerful. Not so much in intermittent fasting. This happens a lot more profoundly in extended fast, like starting with like a 48 hour and on from there. But this autophagy is autophagy. So auto is self, phagy is eating. So your cells go into this mode where they're basically self-eating. But the cool thing about it is that they're eating the bad part. So it gets you to this like cellular level detox, which is really powerful. And it's been shown to help a lot of people with autoimmunity. It's also, it just kind of like lights your brain on fire. You have superhuman focus and energy. Your body just really loves to be in this state of autophagy, and you'll have like really high energy and feel a lot better than normal if you just have a regular serving of glucose to work from for your energy. So I know that kind of like brushes the surface of all this, but you know, we could probably have a whole 2-hour podcast just on ketosis and intermittent fasting. But yeah, those are kind of the dietary biohacks that I use. And then I would say for sleep, let's touch on that again. So two things that I practice regularly for sleep, besides the blue blocking, which is essential for me, it has to happen, is one is having a high quality magnesium. A lot of people are deficient in magnesium, probably most. And magnesium is really important for the biological cascade, the hormone cascade that happens to help you to fall asleep. And so if you're deficient in magnesium, you're going to have a harder time falling asleep and staying asleep. So the one that I like best is magnesium 3-8, which also is really great to support brain function. And that has been a really powerful sleeping biohack for me. And the other one is getting some sort of exercise during the day. And so, you know, this could be whichever exercise you prefer. High intensity interval workouts are great because they also give you a nice boost of brain derived nootropic factor, which supports your brain function and helps you to build new neural pathways, and kind of connect those new neurons in your brain. And it also, it's been shown to, when I have exercise during the day, it correlates really highly with better sleep quality. So I would say definitely getting some exercise during the day. But this kind of brings me to another one, and maybe this will be the last one, or I could go on all day, which I think is also really, really important. And it's kind of the basis of biohacking is, you know, self-experimentation, N=1, you are your own experiment, essentially. And so the way that you have to do this is you have to run experiments off of data. And this is probably, you know, the health scientist in me speaking, but data is so important. And so putting data to action is also the basis of biohacking. So what you really want to do is to track your biometrics. And so using a wearable, like I use a BioStrap, I love it. It's got a really awesome sleep lab platform that tells you a lot of things about sleep. And then there's the Aura Ring and there's Fitbit and all of these other sorts of things. So whichever wearable you want to use, it's going to give you some data to tell you how you're performing and how you're sleeping. The BioStrap also tells me my heart rate variability, my heart rate, my blood oxygen levels, sleep, and the different types of sleep, you know, deep sleep versus regular sleep, and that sort of thing. So you don't really know how you're doing, and you also don't know where to adjust or change, and you also don't know how well your biohacks are working for you if you're not tracking some sort of metrics to see the percent changes. So I would say before you go into any of these biohacks, especially the ones you're going to spend money on, first spend money on getting some sort of wearable so that you can track your biometrics. And if you can't afford a wearable, then be really diligent about journaling. So journal your sleep, journal the way you're feeling every day, journal your food, and you can track that over time as well.
I'm so glad that you just mentioned that at the end and you tagged that on, because I was going to ask you the question, but you just answered it. And that is about tracking. And we've mentioned this on previous podcasts. And I did a whole one about it as well, about tracking and measuring and assessing your data. And it's so, so important. How do you know if you're improving or if you're making any changes if you haven't tracked it? And how do you know where you need to get to be if you don't know where you're starting from? So I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because it's vital. And as you said, you don't have to get a wearable. You can just start making notes. I mean, just how do you feel? What's your mood? What's your energy levels? And just scoring that out of 1 to 10, that's a simple way of doing it. And you can start to see trends and see how you can improve in all areas of your life. But you can only do that via tracking it. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that.
Absolutely. You know, data is king. So I'm always a proponent of any sort of data you can start collecting about yourself or anything that you're trying to change in your life. If you start putting metrics to it and then you track those over time, you're going to be a lot more successful.
Yeah, for sure. There's another thing that I wanted to point out as well to the listeners, especially, is that all of these things that Kayla has mentioned here, that you've mentioned, Kayla, that are not things that are just going to happen overnight. They're just like anything that you've got to put them into practice. You've got to make them habitual and find the ones that, like you said, work on yourself and test it on yourself and find the ones that work for you. And then when they do work for you, then just rinse and repeat it. And if it doesn't work for you, then get rid of it. And an example of that from my own experience in my own life is the keto. Like, I tried keto. It didn't really work for me. I didn't vibe with it, so I discarded it. But fasting, I love fasting, and fasting works brilliantly for me. So I keep that as part of my routine. So it's important to point that out, that you can't just do it all with a click of a fingers or all overnight. You've got to pick one or two things, go with them, and then see what works.
Absolutely. And that also brings up something that I always like to mention is, you know, all of your favorite influencers out there and your favorite fitness models or your celebrities or whoever you're following and listening to, it's all good to listen to them and take their advice. But again, you have to test it out on yourself. And just like you said, if it doesn't work for your biology is unique. So what works for me likely is not going to work perfectly for you. So go ahead and collect your data from your favorite influencer or podcast or whatever, and then try it on yourself. And if it doesn't work, don't worry. That's fine. Go ahead and throw it out. Keto for sure is not going to work for everyone, though some people may say it will. It's just not true. It's nothing is going to work for everyone, because all of us have our own unique biology. We have our own unique needs, and we have to figure out what's going to work best to get us into, you know, our own personal state of homeostasis. And also we all have our own perception on what our personal homeostasis is. So we're all working towards different goals from a totally different baseline. So we can't really standardize these things and blanketly say that something is going to work for everyone.
Yeah, for sure. I think the ones that you've mentioned, though, the simple ones, are pretty much universal, that will work. So we all know if we sleep better, we're going to be healthier. If we get vitamin D, sunlight, we're going to be healthier. If we do some movement, we're going to be healthier. So I think for sure some of them are universal, but then others, maybe the more in-depth ones or the more extreme ones, that we've got to see how they work for us and see how our body responds and feels. And as you said, get the metrics and see how that's working before you can make a decision. But the other ones for sure will work for most people. And I love that you mentioned again, right, I'm backtracking a little bit, but very earlier on in this podcast, you mentioned about awareness and self-awareness and body awareness. And this is something that I am huge on. And to be honest, I think every other podcast that I do with a guest, it comes up this word awareness. And I just feel like it's the theme of my podcasts. And maybe the listeners that listen regularly are probably getting bored of me saying, you've got to be aware. But self-awareness and being aware of what's going on in your body and around your body is just, it's massive. I can't explain to people how important it is to be aware. So I'm glad that you mentioned that as well.
Absolutely. I would probably agree with you in saying that it might be the most important thing.
There's one you haven't mentioned, which I always see you doing on your Instagram. Not that I'm a stalker or anything, but I see your posts regularly, and I always see you doing grounding. So can you just explain that one? Because I think this is one that maybe you've missed out, that is a really important one, and I know you do it regularly. So can you just explain grounding to the listeners and why you do that and how it can help the listeners as well?
Oh yeah, this is one of my favorites. And again, I probably have too many favorites, so it's hard to drill it down. But yeah, I do this one on a regular basis, especially it's great for traveling. But in a nutshell, so grounding is the free and easy way to do it is to just take your shoes off and go outside and stand on the earth, hopefully like the dirt or the grass, but even if you stand on like the concrete, it'll still work. And do this for, 10 or 20 minutes, and you're immediately going to feel better. And the reason why is that in our high-tech world, where we're usually walking on rubber shoes, we don't come in contact with the earth, and the earth has a net negative charge, negative ions, and all of the tech and everything that we come in contact with during the day has a net positive charge. So we build up this positive charge in our bodies, which is not our natural homeostasis state, which causes some issue. It's every time you get out of your homeostasis state, you're starting to go into a state of dis-ease, which causes disease, right? So when you stand on the earth, you start to dispel those positive ions out of your body and get back to that more of a negative charge. And this is why you start to feel better. And when you fly, you get a lot more of that positive charge than you would just in your normal day. So that's why, it's a really cool biohack for jet lag and to enhance your travel so that you can stay on your, it helps to kind of keep that circadian rhythm natural, which is like your natural wake sleep rhythm.
Perfect. Just that's it. That's all you need to do, listeners. Just go outside and take your shoes and socks off.
Exactly. There's tech ways that you can do it. You can get a grounding mat where you can put it like at your workstation and put your feet on it. I don't even have one of those because why? When I could just go outside and that's free. So I prefer doing it the free way, but there's also like ones that you can sleep on and they can get pretty expensive. I think like a cheap grounding mat just to stand on for work is like $100. So you could spend that, or you can just take your lunch break and take your shoes off and go outside. Whichever one.
Yeah, and then you're getting all the other additional benefits as well of the vitamin D and being out in nature, mindfulness, and also, again, we've spoken about this on a really, really, one of my earliest podcasts when we had Dr. Emily Splickle on the podcast, who's an expert in foot mechanics and biomechanics. So you're getting the biomechanical benefits of releasing your feet from, like you say, these trainers and this crappy footwear that we're in all the time. So there's many more benefits, and as you said, it's all free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the beauty of it. Most of the biohacks I do are free or very cheap, so not because I'm against investing money in tech. It's just because they're much more profound as far as health and wellness, and I'd rather spend my time on something that's going to have a more profound effect than spend my time and money on something that's going to be less effective.
Yeah, for sure. I think the key thing that I've taken away from speaking to you so far today, Kayla, and I'm hoping the listeners would have taken away, is that you've got to build the foundation first. You've got to build that foundation for the house, and then you can, once you've got that foundation, then you can start to layer on top of it. And then the fancy biohacks or the ones that maybe cost a bit more money are the icing on the cake or the fancy part of your house, so to speak. But you've got to build that foundation first, otherwise the house is going to collapse.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Awesome. Right, I think I've got most of the things that I wanted to get from you so far, Kayla. And I mean, like as you said earlier, we could have gone down one of these avenues and spent a whole 2 or 3 hours on it. And I'm sure we can look at doing this again and going, mm-hmm. picking one of these, just one biohack and doing a whole podcast on it. But this was great to have an overview of it. But what I really love to do always, and you've said so much already, but I always like to leave the listeners with actionable tips. So if you could give the listeners just one maybe action point that they can do straight away after listening to this podcast and they can put it into practice, what would that be, or maybe 1 to 2 things that they can do straight away?
Yeah, so I think I mentioned sleep a lot because it really is essential. So any sort of biohacks that you can practice to enhance your sleep, the ones I mentioned are good, a good place to start: blocking blue light, magnesium, exercise. But also, I would say making sure that you get about 8 hours of sleep. You know, no matter what anybody says, we all really need close to 8 hours of sleep every night. And some of us need more if we're not getting good, restful, uninterrupted sleep. But also, the most restful hours for your body to recover are between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m. So if you really want to try to get to sleep by 10 p.m. if you can, so that you can get into that restful state of sleep during those essential recovery hours. I know that's not possible for everyone, but if you can get at least 8 hours of sleep, you're going to be a lot better off. That's going to help you, like you said, build that foundation of your house.
Perfect. I think we've got a podcast on this as well, so the listeners can go back. We had a podcast completely on sleep with Nick Littlehales, who's a sleep coach. Have you heard of him? Yeah.
Yes, I know Nick. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've had Nick on the podcast, but I think one of the key things that, just touching on sleep, just to add on to what you just said, is getting in a routine. If you can get in a routine, it makes all the difference. I mean, that's something that myself and my wife do. We have this set routine. We have a set time that we go to bed, a set time that we wake up, and you can't do it 365, 24/7, but if you can get close to it as much as possible, at least 4 to 5 days a week, getting in a good routine, I think that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
Perfect. All right, Kayla, where can the listeners go to find out more about you and tap into your knowledge even more and follow you and learn more about what you do?
Yeah, thank you. The best place to find me is on Instagram. My handle is biocurious_Kayla. And from there, you'll kind of see different things that I'm doing. And I also post a lot of information about different biohacks, and I always share, you know, what I'm working on related to like my exercise routines and my all of kind of like my daily biohacking routines. I also do theme weeks on Instagram about different biohacking themes, where I'll talk about a different biohack every day of the week. I also have a podcast, as I mentioned, called BioCurious, and it's on all the platforms. If you just search BioCurious, you'll find it. And that is based around biohacking. And the Women's Biohacking Collective, we also have an Instagram page for that, which is WB_collective. And you'll find the website link from there. And the website is thewbcollective.com. And that is for any women who are interested in health and wellness and kind of taking control of their own biology. And the reason why we developed this community is because if you look into the research, women, especially women of childbearing age, are very much left out of the research and are also kind of just a caveat in the biohacking world saying like, oh, you know, if you're, you have to consider different hormonal health issues when it comes to biohacks, though there is no specific recommendation. So you're kind of like left hanging. So for the women who want to learn more about biohacking specific to their hormonal cycle and special circumstances that we have to consider as women, not only of childbearing age, but also women in pre or postmenopausal states. And so we address all of these things around different themes every month. And every month is a new theme and a new addition, in addition to the collective, which is the group of women who are members, experts, and founders. And there are special events and different things going on in that community as well. And then, you know, I'm always around doing different events. For instance, the Health Optimization Summit happening in London this year in September. And directly following that, I'll be going on a biohacking mastermind trip to Iceland with Live Beyond Global. And I think there are two spots left if anyone's interested. And so if you will be at either of those events, let me know. And I would love to connect with you there too.
Awesome. It's a shame. I think we was organizing to try and get together when you're over in the UK, but I don't think our dates are gonna work out. But
I know.
That's it. Yeah, but it's great that you're doing a little bit of globetrotting. I love that.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, I work in global health as well, so potentially I'll be over there for work again for something else, and we can hook up.
Perfect. We always finish my podcast in the same way, Kayla, and that's with a favorite quote. So can you leave us with a favorite quote to finish the show, please?
Sure. I really love the work of Bruce Lipton. And for all of the reasons that we were talking about earlier about self-awareness and mindset. And so he says that your perspective is always limited by how much you know. And I love this because perspective really determines how we experience the world. So this really links back to that saying, knowledge is power, because knowledge really is powerful. It expands your mind to new possibilities. And it also, you know, then in turn expands your world and your life, and the possibilities become limitless. So I love that quote.
Love it. That's excellent. Thank you so much, Kayla. And I wish you all the success, and let's keep in touch and keep doing what you're doing. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me on.
No problem. Take care.
That's a wrap on another episode of the Kinetic Fitness Show. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this podcast episode with your friends, family, and colleagues. Until next time, peace and love.